Okay, so hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Default Global. This is where we connect with global first entrepreneurs and HR experts from all around the world. Our guest today is Nicole Adams-Kraus, Chief Talent Officer at SmartX. Nicole, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Sure. Nicole, in your journey through executive education, consulting, and product development across various industries, you know, and this journey has been incredibly diverse, I guess. So with that, could you maybe introduce yourself first and tell us about the main maybe experiences that led you to become the Chief Talent Officer at SmartX?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very non-traditional path into talent and HR. You will not, as you noticed from my profile, it's not HR end to end. Probably about half of my career has been in big consulting firms. Half of it has been in tech startups. But the common thread has always been pushing myself for really diverse set of experiences, really influenced by my childhood. I grew up all over the world and realized how much diverse set of experiences could expand the way that you think, the way you solve a problem, the way you engage with people in all different cultures, different religions, different, you name it. So that curiosity has been with me from a very young age. And in each of my roles, I was responsible for, you know, as I progressed in my career, leading and managing quite a lot of hiring, especially in the tech startups. But what the split between the big consulting and the more operational roles gave me a really good balance between how do you advise and how do you operate. But the common thread was always the people and wanting to engage and understand what motivates people to work, whether I'm in an operating role leading product or whether I'm in an executive education and, you know, consulting role. So that's the common thread that led me here. And over time, let's say the last 10 years have focused much more on people development, how you strategically deploy teams to against work as and really partner strategically with leadership to make sure that your people strategy matches your business strategy. And that's the part that I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, so you have transitioned from different roles and industries while also mm-hmm. balancing the role of being a mom, right? So and mm-hmm. in what ways do you think this personal life experiences like parenting impacted your approach to working with people specifically in a professional setting?
Well, as a parent, you realize, and as a manager, you only have so much control over how your children behave or how the people who report to you behave. Not that I'm calling them children, but it gave me a much greater ability to be accepting and know that I can't control every single situation just by sheer force of will, because children will surprise you and do the most bizarre and illogical things. And so it really gave me a lot of patience. I'm a better manager now because I'm a parent, and vice versa.
That's a good answer. SmartX is known for using this advanced math, right, to quickly solve mm-hmm. complicated product questions. That's mm-hmm. the way how I understood this. So can you tell us more about the company and what exactly it does?
We are pioneers in retail. What we have done in very short order is we have essentially read the entire chemical and physical makeup of all retail products. This is in the US for now, but that will help retailers and even consumers make decisions about the products that they buy. So based on the ingredients and understanding and classifying those ingredients, we can tell you if you're running a large retail company. So what is your waste generator status? What are the regulations that are most impacting your business? Even on a store level, what are the things that are getting returned the most and for what reason? But we have taken it very much from a mathematical and heavy AI standpoint, where we can map out and classify products using technology instead of what had been before a lot of manual human intervention. And what that does on a business level, it allows retailers to do things, and even suppliers of creators of the products, to do something that is both better for the planet and better for their business. So if you can better manage the regulatory burden, avoid fines, for example, or create better products for consumers, then you are not only saving things, let's say, from the trash from landfill, but it's also better for business. And this is one of those unique businesses where we are not just pure mission, you know, we're doing something that's good for the planet that doesn't really help the bottom line for businesses. There's a fantastic overlap between what we do. We do believe we are mission-driven. We do know and we see how we are making an impact on the planet, but we also know that that impact helps retailers' bottom lines. And when you think about businesses like grocery, for example, their margins are so tiny that anything that can help either in loss prevention or to proactively impact the bottom line is huge for them.
And given a smarter X focus on using data to guide your clients, right, guide their decisions, right, can you explain how your company uses this data for better internal operations? Maybe use also this data-driven approach for recruiting or for managing talent internally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if I think at the top level, we have implemented an AI for all mandate across the company. Every person in every role should be thinking about the ways that they can AI themselves, if you will. You know, what are some of the tasks in my daily work? So if I take it from a recruitment standpoint, I've not written a base job description or from the ground up in quite a long time now. So using AI to drive efficiency in my work. And there's a similar application in every other role, whether you're a customer support person, whether you are a developer, you know, you're creating code. We have this umbrella AI for all mandate. And then when we look at we've made tools available to our team as well to enable that, you know, the ChatGPT, our own version of GPT as well, internal version. And on the talent side, I'm also using AI-enabled tools to help with resume screening and reaching out to passive candidates. So those tools are helping us to screen for better qualified candidates, which then allows us to focus our time on people who are better suited for roles versus what can happen is just sort of being inundated with 300 or 400 resumes for any one job. And not only is that a huge burden on our side, but from a candidate experience, if you, Vit, are one of 500 people who apply, it's going to take us a while as a small startup to get to an answer. I mean, we use Greenhouse, we use automated tools to send initial replies, we help manage expectations that way. But the tools that we're using in the recruiting process, the partners that we have are also helping us to find better qualified candidates faster and kind of reducing that candidate pool from the beginning.
And if we go a bit even more deeper, I guess, even deeper, so what specific metrics or indicators does your company use in HR in hiring?
So there are a couple. One is just one of them is internal referral rate. So we're still, you know, fairly small, and good people attract good people. We have very high caliber folks who also come in with, you know, fantastic networks. So we keep track of that metric in terms of internal referrals. We don't actually want that to get anywhere near 100%, right around 40, maybe 50% is a good measure, because what happens if you set a 100% metric, you end up with a population that's way too homogenous. And so diversity in our base of employees is very important. But as a small company, having those referrals is also really helpful, because if we had worked together before, you would ask me the insider questions that only I would know, and we would have that relationship to be able to share that information. So that's one metric, internal referrals, which we like to keep around 40 to 50%. The other metric is just speed of hiring. So from the time that we post a job to hiring, we want to keep that within a couple of months, sort of end to end, because once we've made a decision to hire, we have the budget, we have the need. There's an onboarding and integration process that we need to manage. So we have a 2-month goal. For some of the executive roles, that has gone a little bit longer. But for, you know, anyone below executive level, around 2 months is our goal. The other piece, other metric on the recruiting is our, which is fairly new for us, is our internship program. And so we have set up, we're about to launch our second cohort of interns. Out of our first cohort of 5, we've brought 2 on full time. And so that is a way that we are both bringing in new talent, giving them a chance to test us out, putting them through what we call our AI boot camp, and then bringing people into the organization full time who really understand and on a visceral level, you know, what is it like to work here, providing a much stronger kind of junior bench of talent.
And speaking about AI and culture, right? I know that your company strongly supports values like expertise, curiosity, impact, and I guess the last one, growth. Yeah. So in a company so driven by data, AI, how do you quantify these values within your talent strategy? So what I mean, is there a way to measure from a data-driven perspective or from the AI perspective? I don't know if a candidate not only has the skills, but also aligns with the core values that you have in your company.
So if we stick with that intern cohort example, and really almost any interview process, it's both about the accomplishments. We have a pretty comprehensive test for the intern cohort. And I was just speaking with one of my colleagues about one of the assessments that came in that was very technically sound. However, it was lacking the explanation and reflection of understanding. So while the person knocked it out of the park on the technical, because they didn't include the explanation, which would show the internalizing of why they were doing this test, why these results were important, why they had other questions, we did not move them forward, even though they were exceeding some of the other candidates in the technical. So that's how it comes back to our values. If they're not showing the curiosity about why the data is important, why their results make sense, and able to play that back to us, then we know they won't be a good fit for the culture. Because it's not just about producing great technical results and data. It's about understanding and being passionate about the underlying questions within that data.
Okay, that's totally makes sense. In the context of the global shift towards remote work, global hiring, maybe. So, how has SmarterX adapted its talent acquisition strategies?
So we have, from the beginning, always had global partners that we've worked with across a variety of fields, whether it's engineering or even regulatory expertise or offshore support. We've always been big believers in making sure we're bringing the right talent to the table, not confined by, you know, geographic boundaries, especially. I mean, I think COVID propelled that, but even before COVID, we had a strong network of global providers.
But still, I've noticed that currently there are no employees outside of the US, right, in your company?
Contractors. We have contractors.
But you're not hiring like a full-time guys. And I'm just curious, could you maybe share the reasons behind this and your perspective on hiring internationally?
I think it's a great question. If we move, our base of operations is in the US, and the market that we serve right now, the US retail and CPG market, is has its own quirks, as each country's retail industry does. And so if we start to expand globally to other markets to kind of provide the services and the data that we're providing today, I can see us having team members in other countries. But there is really an important aspect to being able to walk out and go into one of the retailers that we serve. We actually provide membership cards to some of the retailers as a benefit for our employees. We want people walking the hallways of the retailers that we work with, really understanding on a physical level what that shopping experience is like, what kind of data you might be able to bring in. And while it's not impossible to do in other countries, it's a little trickier for someone in Brazil to walk the halls of a Costco in America.
But you're talking about some business expansion, right? So, but you also have contractors, and I assume those contractors are engineers, right? That work for
not all. No.
Not all. Yeah.
We have them across a variety of roles.
Ah, okay. Okay, cool. I guess you mentioned this, that you work with some partners who can cover your legal compliance stuff. I guess you work with some employer for record companies, right, to cover those contractors, or you hire them directly, kind of?
We've done both.
Okay.
And we've had good experiences with both. The ones who we have hired directly, to be honest, have come through referrals, so people who had worked with those people. But if it was just a blind hire, I would want to go through an employer of record.
Okay, got it. But if SmarterX were to consider expanding its hiring globally, like full time, globally, what first steps would you take to start this effective global workforce?
First steps, do you mean full time global?
Yeah.
Well, first would be a market analysis to understand sort of based on the technology that we have today, which other markets might be most relevant for our technology. Then we would set up a presence in those countries. Then we would do some market tests sort of with retailers and brands in those markets. And then from there, we would determine if there was enough of a market opportunity, then I can see us setting up. It would just be remote to start. Maybe an office over time. We do have a headquarters office in Boulder. But does that answer your question?
Yes, I guess so. Thank you. Recently, you made a post about this employee benefits evolution, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Can you talk more about this? Specifically, how do you update your benefits to match this changing needs of today's workers?
Mm-hmm. So there are two ways. One, we run employee surveys 3 times a year. And within those surveys, we ask about our benefits, ask for suggestions on additional, what else could we be doing? So that's a very formal mechanism. We also have a very open door policy with our team. We have CEO office hours where you could come and ask our CEO anything every other week. And sometimes suggestions get fed into that. So we've got a number of structured and unstructured feedback loops. The other piece is just kind of constant market monitoring. So what are other companies doing? Back to that curiosity value. I want to know what other companies are doing because even if we can't do it at the same level of a Netflix, for example, in terms of, I think they have 1 year of parental leave, which I know is not great. It's amazing for the US. It's sort of standard in other countries, but we're always benchmarking ourselves against sort of what are some of the big companies doing and how can we bring in our own flavor of that, which is why we've added in, that we have a Costco membership for our team. We provide a state parks pass every year, which, we're trying to save the planet. So we want our team to be able to go out and into a park and explore their local parks. You have to have, at least here, you have to have a pass for that. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other benefits? We offer a work from home stipend, an annual work from home stipend, because most of our workforce is remote. And even the team in Boulder is working part-time in the office, part-time from home. And that's an annual budget you can use for anything in your house. And we make it very flexible. So this is a good example. Someone said to me the other day, can I use this for coffee at my local coffee shop? Yes. There's really no boundary on it. You don't need to have 11 desks in your house. No one needs that. But what the question we tell people to ask is, what's going to make your home work environment more productive for you? Mm-hmm. So if for you it's coffee, go crazy. Spend the whole budget on coffee. So two things to answer your question: employee feedback, and then constantly monitoring the market. And I guess there's a third, which is thinking about our business and what is unique about our business to the Costco pass, to the state parks pass, that really speaks to our business and how we run it. So it's actually three things.
That's great. And I guess my last question, given this, the recent layoffs, the significant challenges in the recruitment space, and maybe growing this influence of AI potentially replacing many traditional like activities, right? So how do you see the tech talent market evolving in 2024?
I think while the balance had been more of an employee market, I think it's shifting to be a little bit more equal to employer-employee. Maybe employer edging ahead a little bit, but it just in our, well, some of the big tech companies had layoffs, you know, the smaller companies, you didn't see that as much, but it was very off balance, sort of employees have all the power. And I think it should be a little bit more equal if possible. Cause we saw some, it just for us, we were priced out of being able to hire some talent just because, you know, we're a small company. And we just couldn't compete with the RSUs and the, you know, 100% bonus that some of the big tech companies could offer. So I think it's balanced out a little bit more on that front. Going into 2024, I think on the tech side, at least for us, you know, the specialty talent, and what I'm finding is that not as many engineers as I had thought have two things, interest or experience on the AI front. And some of them are actually actively sort of pushing back on AI. So I think that's going to be a unique challenge for us as a company that is very AI first, to find some of those unicorns who have like the deep technical knowledge, can do pure coding without AI, but have also embraced AI as a way to accelerate or to focus on the higher value aspects of their work. So I think it's going to be a bit of a challenge for us because I don't think that's the norm. You know, we're not just looking for a Python coder. We're looking for someone who can do that plus incorporate AI into their work. So I see a challenge for us, a good challenge. But it's going to be hard to find some of those folks.
Okay. I guess we're good. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Nicole, for your valuable insights on how personal experience, like parenting, influences this professional leadership, your company's innovative approach. Thanks a lot. Your expertise has been truly insightful. Thank you.
My pleasure, Pete. Thanks for having me.